Nevertheless, I come to you today as an engineer. You know, forget about the PRN for now. But I'll be your engineer. And today we will be talking about expanding the kingdom of God. You know, when I was given the topic to preach, expanding the kingdom of God, I thought, well, it's going to be an expansion project. So I got my blueprints here. I got my hard hat ready, just in case we took that assignment of expanding the kingdom of God. Isn't that what you all think of when you hear about expansion projects? We're trying to expand on this side, and we're going to try to expand on that side. Unfortunately, here in the States, you know, I tried my best to expand vertically. But no, I'm expanding horizontally. That's probably because of the things that we are fond of doing, which is lunch, lunch, and more lunch. But we praise the Lord for His faithfulness in each and everyone's lives. So the past few weeks, we are doing a sermon series on the kingdom of God. As you all know, at the first start of the year, Pastor Elvin talked about the King of the Kingdom. The King of the Kingdom is the one who owns everything in this planet, in this whole universe, in this whole galaxy. Well, whatever you think is bigger. But then the King of the Kingdom also is our Father. The King of the Kingdom in all His holiness and sovereignty. Okay, when people are complaining about the things that's going on with their lives, it's easier for the King of the Kingdom to push that button and say, kill all those insurgents, right? That's what most of world leaders would do. If there are people opposing their thoughts and ideas, that would be the easiest way to do. But yet, God, in all His love and all His compassion, decided to send forth His Son, so that we'll receive the love and grace instead of pressing that button right then and there. And then, as you all know, Pastor Tom Billings preached on the citizens of the kingdom, in which we are all privileged to be part of, right? And then last week, Kuya Lester preached on the laws of the kingdom. So today we'll be talking about the expansion of the kingdom. If you have your Bibles with you, our text for today will be in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 24 to 25. This is a very powerful promise that our God, our Jehovah Jireh, has given to all of us here. And I pray that as I read this passage in the Bible, that you all claim this promise, receive this promise. Because the one who promised will remain true and faithful to this promise. Every place where you set your foot will be yours. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, from the Euphrates River to the Mediterranean Sea. No one will be able to stand against you. The Lord your God, as He promised you, will put the terror and fear of you on the whole land, wherever you go. Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we pray that you would open our minds and you would allow the Holy Spirit to sit in our hearts so that we will be able to receive your word today with clarity and conviction. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. But of course, this promise would just be some sort of a prosperity gospel presentation if I just tell you of the promise. For this thing to have life in us, we should see the context behind this promise. In this ancient time, a lot of preachers have been preaching on the benefits of what we were going to get if we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. But unfortunately, Christian life requires something else. Salvation is given free, but you have to accept it. You have to receive it. It's not just going to come from heaven and say everybody will be saved. Isn't that right? So when I hear preachers saying, lift up your passports and let's pray to the Lord, our God, that the U.S. Embassy will give and stamp a visa on your passport. Come on, raise it up. You know, I think they're getting it out of context. When preachers come to the pulpit and say, for those of you who lack things that you need right now, put your wallet in the air, put your purse or bag in the air, and we will pray that the Lord will pour down His blessing on those wallets so you will have enough money for your needs. I think those claims are being taken out of proportion because there are requirements prior to the blessing of God. If you have your Bibles with you, we will be reading Deuteronomy chapter 11. The context of this passage of the Bible is this is the time when Moses was about to lead Israel, God's people, into entering the promised land. And so at this time, Moses was already 120 years old. I will read from New International Version. Love and obey the Lord. Verse 1. Love the Lord your God and keep His requirements, His decrees, His laws, and His commands always. You see, from the very first part of the passage, it says there are requirements. There are decrees, there are laws that God wants us to do. And it's just not just one time, it's always, all the time. You know. When we hear of requirements, it seems that this laws becomes hard, these commandments becomes really hard for each and every one of us. But you know, there are requirements in our Christian lives. Right? When you're a Christian, you are required to live a holy life. Isn't that true? Once you became a Christian, you are required to forgive others. Man, that's tough. And the Bible says, how many times do we have to forgive? It's 7 times. That's hard. I mean, if my kid faulted me for something, it takes a while before I'm able to forgive them. And more so, if your best friend betrayed you for something, it's tough to forgive. And I bet a lot of us here have some grudges in our hearts. And a lot of us here have moments, opportunities in our lives where we had a chance to forgive and yet we hold off for another day. There are requirements in living a Christian life. We have to be generous. We need to give even beyond our means. We need to sacrifice for the sake of others. We need to be humble. When people are ridiculing us for the things that we believe in, sometimes we just cannot come out there and say, no, you're not right. This is the truth, and the truth is on our side. It's hard to live this Christian life in this ancient time. People would always look at you and say, is that the way Christians should live? I'd rather stay an atheist or a Buddhist or a Muslim because they have a higher standard when it comes to Christian living. And so to love the Lord your God, we need to keep His requirements, His decrees and His laws. Always. Always. Not just only during New Year where we make this little New Year's resolution and start from there. It has to be always, all the time. Verse 2 says, remember today that your children were not the ones who saw and experienced the discipline of the Lord your God, His majesty, His mighty hand, His outstretched arm, the signs He performed and the things He did in the heart of Egypt, both to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and to his whole country. Now, who is he talking to right now? You know, when Moses was referring to that your children, so that means he's talking to the fathers and the mothers, or maybe even to the grandparents or those, you know, older people, older generations. So this part of the passage is being addressed to them. Remember. You know, in Tagalog, we have this saying, ang gamot sa taong nakakalimot ay paalaala, right? Not palo, but, you know, paalaala. Remember. We have to remember. I have this patient in one of my home health visits, and on the list of her medications, it says donepezil. Now, for those of you who are not sure what donepezil is, it's the same thing as Namenda or Aricept. If you can't remember, don't worry about it, but it's a memory enhancer. So I look at her long list of medication, and I said, are you taking this? And slowly checking it off. Yeah. How about this one, donepezil? Oh, no, I don't need that one. My memory serves me right. My memory is good right now, so I'm not taking that one. Okay, ma'am, if you say so. But when was the last time you took it? Can't really remember. I guess that's the reason why your doctor wants you to take that pill. So remember. Remember today that your children were not there. You know, he was referring to all those experiences that they had in Egypt. What he did to the Egyptian army, to its horses and chariots, how he overwhelmed them with the waters of the Red Sea as they were pursuing you, and how the Lord brought lasting ruin on them. It was not your children who saw what he did for you in the wilderness until you arrived at this place, and what he did to Dathan and Abiram, sons of Eliab the Reubenite, when the earth opened its mouth right in the middle of Israel and swallowed them up in their households, their tents, and every living thing that belonged to them. But it was your own eyes that saw all these great things the Lord has done. So that passage was addressed to the older generation. It was addressed to the elders, to the seniors, to the parents. You see, the older generation at this time, as this passage was being written, or as it happens as this very time, at this time in the Bible, is the generation that would not enter the promised land, except for Caleb and Joshua. But those 40 years old and above, they will never see the promised land. So Moses is reminding them to remember. Observe therefore, verse 8, all the commands I am giving you today, so that you may have the strength to go in and take over the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess. As I was reading this passage, the words that they use here is to go in and take over. And you know, in those days, for you to overcome a piece of land, for you to conquer another kingdom, you cannot just go in and take over, right? But it seems that in this passage, Moses is telling them that you got nothing else to do, that there's no need to prepare for war. Just keep God's commandment, and this will be the strength and the way to secure success. And there's another promise. And so that you may live long in the land of the Lord swore to your ancestors to give to them and their descendants, a land flowing with milk and honey. Underline those words, live long. This week, the oldest person in the planet passed away at the age of what? 112, right? That's the guy in Japan. Passed away at the age of 112. I just can't imagine living more than a century. You know. But then it seems that sin tends to shorten the days and hold the prosperity in our lives when we continue to harbor them. The land you are entering to take over is not the land of Egypt from which you have come, where you planted your seed and irrigated it by foot in a vegetable garden, but the land you're crossing the Jordan to take possession of is a land of mountains and valleys that drinks rain from heaven. It is a land the Lord your God cares for. The eyes of the Lord your God are continually on it from the beginning of the year to its end. Verse 13. And here we go again. The requirements. So if you faithfully obey the commands I'm giving you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul, then I will send rain on your land in its season, both autumn and spring rain, so that you may gather in your grain, new wine, and olive oil. I will send rain on your land in its season, so that they should neither want it when the ground called for it, nor have it in excess. So these are all the doing of the mighty Jehovah. I will provide grass in the fields for your cattle, and you will eat and be satisfied. Isn't that what we want? To eat and be satisfied? Now, a lot of us here will keep on eating, but will never be satisfied. That's for sure. But then the word of the Lord is saying here that He will provide everything so that we will all eat and be satisfied. What really satisfies here is the favor of God. Not the grain, not the new wine, or the oil. But let's take a look at verse 16. It says there, be careful. So after being satisfied, the Bible gives us a warning to be careful, or you will be enticed to turn away and worship other gods and bow down to them. That usually is the case. When the Lord answers our prayers, we become satisfied. We become stagnant in our faith. You know. Let me ask you, when do you feel the Lord closer to you? Is it on that time when you are asking Him for something? Or is it the time when He finally answered your prayer? Our prayer meeting every Friday, you would only see a handful of people. But guess what? If the Lord sends a disaster in this place, I'm pretty sure we will fill up this place. There are faithful prayer warriors in this church, and their attendance is not dependent on what's going on in their lives. They come to church every Friday because they know that they will meet God in this place every Friday. You see, when we're asking something from God, we come to Him in prayer. We bend our knees. We cry before the Lord. Right? If somebody is sick and diagnosed with cancer, we pray every day. We get closer to the Lord. If we need something from the Lord, we get closer to Him. But when we're satisfied, that's when we slow down. So the Bible reminds us to be careful when you're already satisfied, or you will be enticed to turn away and worship other gods and bow down to them. Then the Lord's anger will burn against you, and He will shut up the heavens so that it will not rain, and the grain will yield no produce, and you will soon perish from the good land the Lord is giving you. That's a warning there. That's a clear warning. Now fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. The word of the Lord, the Bible, we need to fix them in our hearts, because our hearts are the storehouse for God's word. And how do you fix them in your minds? You memorize. That's why we have memory verses. So fix them in your hearts and mind. Tie them as symbols on your hands. Like, turn it into a bracelet. You know? which is always in view. But this is the thing I don't get. And bind them on your foreheads. I don't know how we're going to do that. But I guess it's simply saying here, you put the word of the Lord on those places which you cannot avoid the sight of. But to tell you the truth, I don't mind people walking around here with John 3:16 on their forehead. That's fine by me. I'm not bothered by it. We cannot expect good practices in our conversation unless there be good thoughts in our hearts, good affections and good principles in our heart. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what's really in your heart, it comes out naturally. I have this friend of mine in the workplace, and during those downtime hours in the emergency room, which usually happens once in a blue moon, I would sneak behind her and scare her and startle her. And she said she's been a Christian for so long, I've been serving the church as a deaconess for quite some time, but every time I tried to startle her, she would let out some words that are not so church-like. Let me just put it that way. So I was like, wait a minute. That doesn't seem to coincide with what you're telling me. Oh, it's only when I'm under a lot of stress. But you see, out of the abundance of our heart, the mouth speaks. If you've noticed on those geriatric population, which I meant to say 70 and above, when they get to the point that their Alzheimer's is slowly encroaching on them, the only memory that will be left is the memory of the heart. We got old people who at their last breath would still sing hymns, recite memory verses, give away blessings. And of course, on the other hand, we have people who would curse back at you and say all the things that they have in their hearts. They probably don't know at that stage, in the late stage of Alzheimer's. But still, the word of the Lord is true, that from out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. It seems like I've been doing this all day long. That's what I've been telling my son, Jenrick. Clean up your room in the morning, in the afternoon when he comes back, again clean up your room, and the evening before he retires, clean up your room. Is that the same scenario that you have in your house? But yeah, we need to teach our children and talk about them when we sit with them at home or wherever we go. It's hard because nowadays we all have our own smartphones, right? We all have our own tablets. We all have our own computer. And there was a time when people would just come together as a family in our dining tables and talk about what happened during the day. But I noticed that during dinner time, even in restaurants where they serve good meal, each one of us are so busy with our own smartphones and even taking the time to talk about what's going on. And the word of the Lord is emphasizing that we need to sit with them. When they walk, we have to talk to them about it. And when they lie down, when they get up, we need to talk to them about the word of God. On our way home, one of the Sundays, I had Chad and Jandrick with me, sitting at the back seat. And as I was driving, I've been meaning to tell them or discuss with them the thing that they dread to be talking about, which is premarital sex. But you know me, I don't describe those stuff as the bees and the flower. I use the right words. And I can see from the rear view mirror that if they can only open that door, they would just get off the car and run because they don't want to talk about it. But it will be a disgrace in the name of the Lord if I haven't had a chance to talk to them about that. And 5, 6, 7 years down the road, they would come back to me and say, "Dad, Houston, we have a problem. I got her knocked up because I didn't know I'm supposed to use to wear those condoms or to abstain from having premarital sex because that's not what the Lord has planned for me." And those are the teachings that they should not hear from their friends because they may not give accurate answers. Those are the teachings that they should learn from their fathers, from their mothers, just because we know what the Lord of the word of the God of this kingdom wants us to do. It is a mandate that we teach our children. We should not depend on our Sunday school teachers to teach them what is right and wrong. They can come to these Sunday school classes. Yes, they learn some new songs. They learn to memorize verses. But at home, it is where it starts. We need to teach our children the truth. And that's our responsibility. We write them on the door frames of our houses so as not to be overlooked. And on our gates so that our days and the days of our children may be many in the land the Lord swore to give our ancestors, as many as the days that the heavens are above the earth. What number are we talking about here? When the word of the Lord says, as many in the land the Lord swore to give, as many days, talking about more than 112 years of age. Let the word of God be the guide of our way and the rule of our work, of our household, of our school, of every institution in this land. If you carefully observe all these commands I'm giving you, to follow, to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience in Him, and to hold fast to Him. Now here's the requirements prior to getting the blessings. Okay? If, you remember that word, if. There's a condition. If you carefully observe. Now for those of you who are very technical or have worked as, you know, one of those techs in the lab, isn't it true that we observe a lot of things when we're doing experiments? And to observe is to take notice, not just notional knowledge, but to be in practice. We observe things. We observe all these commands I'm giving you to follow. First, to love the Lord your God. Now when we say we love the Lord, it's more than just singing songs of praise and worship here. It's more than just raising our hands in adoration. It's more than just saying we love you, Lord. Although those are integral and important elements in our worship. But those are just superficial. To love the Lord is to obey Him 100% in His Word. Obedience is loving the Lord. You know, Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep, you will obey my commandments. That's John 14:15. Now, earlier we were talking about the requirements, right? It's kind of really hard to do everything that the word of the Lord is telling us to do. Even the Ten Commandments, we have not perfected following and obeying the Ten Commandments. And there's a lot of rules, regulations, there's a lot of decrees that we have to follow if we really want to seek the Lord. It's really hard. It's easier said than done. But you know the word of the Lord says, all His commandments are not burdensome. They are not burdensome. They are meant to satisfy us. They are meant for us. I know Lester has probably touched on this subject matter, but let me just give you an example. When you have a homeless guy come to you and say, I need a place to stay, even for like 2-3 days. Okay. So you let him in to your house and you let him stay there for the next 3 days. Now this homeless guy, he knows that you have certain requirements inside the house, right? You know, if nobody smokes, like in my house, nobody smokes, nobody drinks, so I don't expect him to be drinking and smoking inside my house, right? I want everything to be spick and span. So I'm not expecting him to just put all his stuff in on the floor for the next 3 days. And so when this homeless guy comes to your house, I don't think those requirements by the owner is really hard. Because the homeless guy has no place to stay, right? Now those requirements are not really burdensome for as long as he had a roof on top of his head and 3 square meals a day. So why would it be burdensome for us to follow the laws of God, to follow his commandments, when we know that these laws are being given to satisfy us, to correct us, to put us in the right way, to benefit us? The commandments of the Lord are not burdensome. We are not saved by obeying the law, but through salvation, we have come to know that we're doing this in obedience, out of love for our God. So our youth, when you say you love your mom and dad, you just don't say, I love you, mom. I love you, dad. You have to obey their requirements, right? It's easy to say, we love you. We thank you for taking care of us. But it is a requirement for you to obey your parents. Verse 23, then the Lord will drive out all these nations before you. And here comes the promises. And you will dispossess nations larger and stronger than you. Now, if you learn how to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience with him, and to hold fast or to cling to him, like a baby, you know, trying to beg his mom not to go anywhere. You know, that's the word that was used there. Now, nations larger and stronger than you, you will dispossess. Nations larger and stronger than you. I mean, in these days, I don't think you would want to dispossess any nation, right? But what are the nations that the Bible is talking about here? It could be our nations of problems. Problems that we look at it as they are larger and stronger than us. Okay? What are these nation of problems? Let's give an example. Let's say a financial problem. Are you having trouble trying to make both ends meet? Then that's your nation larger and stronger than you. Do you have problems with your wife, with your spouses? You know, you try to talk to them into something, but they would not listen. As always, that's the case of the husbands. That could be a nation larger and stronger than you. I don't want my wife to be larger and stronger than me. But sometimes that's the case. What's bothering you today? Could it be your career? Are you trying to pass a certification? Are you trying to finish a midterm exam that you keep on failing? Are you trying to finish off one last step before you can take off? Is that the nation that is larger and stronger than you? Now for those of us here who are still waiting for that visa approval, is that the nation that is larger and stronger than you? For those of us here who were recently or in the past diagnosed with cancer, your blood sugar going up, your hypertension, the pain that you have on your back and on your knees, the old age that's slowly creeping in, is that the nation larger and stronger than you? Now the word of the Lord says, then the Lord will drive out all these nations before you, and you will dispossess those nations larger and stronger than you. Every place, now every place, which means your home, your neighbor, your community, your workplace, your marketplace, where you set your foot will be yours. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the Euphrates River to the Mediterranean Sea. Now that is expanding the kingdom. No one will be able to stand against you. That's the word of the Lord. No one will be able to stand against you. I hear this all the time from my coworkers. I can't stand you. They will not be able to stand against you. The Lord your God, as he promised you, will put the terror and fear of you on the whole land wherever you go. These are God's promises to expand his kingdom. In verse 23, the Lord promised victory over all our enemies. He's going to drive out nations. This is how he will expand his kingdom. Second promise is the expansion of our boundaries. It says that every place where you set your foot will be yours. And third, he will put terror, the terror and fear of you on the whole land. That's the moral supremacy that Christians should possess. The expansion of the kingdom will always have truth and holiness. Verse 26, it says, see, I am setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you obey the commands of the Lord your God that I am giving you today. The curse, if you disobey the commands of the Lord your God and turn from that way that I command you today by following other gods which you have not known. When the Lord your God has brought you into the land you are entering to possess, you are to proclaim on Mount Gerizim the blessings and on the Mount Ebal the curses. As you know, these mountains are across the Jordan, westward toward the setting sun, near the trees of Moreh in the territory of those Canaanites living in the Arabah in the vicinity of Gilgal. Now, verse 31. You are about to cross the Jordan to enter and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you. This is the same situation we are in right now as a church, First Philippine Baptist Church. In a few weeks, we will be inviting a senior pastor candidate to be with us, to have fellowship with him. And so it is our belief that also we are about to cross the Jordan to take possession of the land the Lord is giving to us. It will be another chapter in the life of this church. If this is the right person God is leading us to call. When you have taken it over and are living there, be sure that you obey all the decrees and laws I am setting before you today. The Lord is just, he keeps on repeating these decrees and laws that we have to obey that have been set before us today and with all those promises. So in closing, let me tell you that we all have roles in expanding the kingdom of God. In the expansion project, we look at the blueprints and the engineer is the one who would tell you what to do, where to lay the foundation, where to build those pillars and stuff like that. That could be the work of a pastor. In that expansion project, we have lead men who would direct men to pour concrete on this spot or build something on this spot. And those are our elders and our deacons, or even our Sunday school teachers. And we have workers too. We have ushers. We have greeters. We have real estate brokers and marketers. We have evangelists and missionaries. But there's only one architect that would lead the expansion of the kingdom. And that is the sole designer, the one creator, the planner, the sovereign Lord, the King of the kingdom. Now, whatever He assigned you to do, the blueprint remains the same. You might be called the next elder of the church, the next deacon, the next greeter, the next Sunday school teacher, the next janitor, the next facility manager, or whatever we have position in this church. But the blueprint remains for us to expand the kingdom of God. We need to learn to love the Lord our God, to walk in obedience in Him, and hold fast in Him. For all we know, the assignment that the Lord is giving us would probably just, like my son, just play the yo-yo. And when he was started doing playing the yo-yo, I look at it like, what? You're wasting your time. I mean, that's just a stupid toy. It goes back and forth like that. What else can you do with that thing? But if God can use rocks to praise Him, He's going to use that yo-yo to praise His name as well. When we went to the Philippines for our mission trip, God has used that yo-yo so I can connect with the people. And you know, my famous phrase when it comes to the yo-yo is like, the yo-yo is like our lives. It has ups and downs. Sometimes it just keeps on spinning on its axle, you know, like it's going round and round and round, like it's not serving its purpose. But you know, until we learn that we need that string attached to the master who holds the yo-yo, then we are nothing. Church, to expand the kingdom of God, we need to start in our hearts to learn to love the Lord our God, to walk in Him in obedience, to cleave, to cling unto Him. And then every place that we set our foot will be ours. God will extend our territories from our yards to our neighbors, to our communities. They can never stop us. They will look upon us for moral supremacy. They will find the truth. They want us to define what is right and wrong, because we are the servants. We are the workers of the King of the kingdom. May our God, the King of the kingdom, live forever.